I mentioned I was going to share a couple messages in a two-part series on generosity. And different people have different ideas on how to be generous, and sometimes it's at someone other's expense. I saw this story this week and I thought I would share it. An elderly woman had just returned home from church services when she was startled by an intruder in her home. He was in the act of robbing her and taking everything that she had and all of her valuables. And when she saw him, she said, "Stop, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus so that your sins may be forgiven." The burglar stopped in his tracks, and the lady calmly called the police and came in. And as the officer was cuffing the man, he said, "Why did you just stand there when all she did was yell a scripture?" The burglar replied, "She said she had an axe and 238. And there are people that think that what you have is theirs, and they want to be rich at your expense. Have you ever been robbed? I was robbed when I was in seminary. Took every pair of pants I had but two. The one I had on and the one I was having off. And folks, that was in the days of plaid polyester. And I look back and I think, who in the world would want them? Yes, and I look good. Living generously, and I know a lot of people think, well, you know, you're going to talk about giving. And we'll touch on that. But living generously becomes easy when we understand that everything that we have, God gave it to us. It doesn't make any difference what it is. No one gets out of here alive, and no one gets out of here with their possessions. And you say, well, how do you know that? I have never seen a hearse pull a U-Haul trailer. And so what we have states. King David said, "Everything in heaven and earth is yours, O Lord." Then he follows it up when he says, "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things." So when we're given things or when we acquire them, God gives them to us for our enjoyment, for our pleasure, for our opportunity, and for the opportunity to share them and to use them. And His grace is really what gives us that opportunity to really enjoy things. There was a cartoon in the paper when John D. Rockefeller died in 1937, and the caption asked, "How much did he leave?" And the next pane in the cartoon said, "He left it all." And his fortune at that time was worth an estimated 10 times what Bill Gates is worth today. So what did he leave? He left it all. When death occurs, we have what God gave us. And what God gave us is our spirit. Because the spirit never dies. The body dies, the mind dies with the body, but the spirit lives forever. And so if we look at generosity and we think of generosity from this standpoint, is that we no longer have any type of financial strain. There are people that are suffering financially. And you may have relatives that are suffering financially, and they're under stress and they're under strain. They're struggling to try to make their ends meet because they don't, I'll be honest with you, they don't live generously. And that's really what it's all about. There are people out there that are millions of dollars in debt. The government allowed people to buy homes that couldn't afford homes long enough to lose homes. You can't buy a $500,000 home on welfare, But we were in essence saying, you can do that. Because that's what happened. We shouldn't be bound by materialism. We shouldn't be bound by the things that we have. But we should be thankful that our daily needs are met and what God has blessed us with is something that we can enjoy through grace. When you live generously, you have the ability to help other people. And you all help other people very well, let me tell you that. From the Heifer Fund to the Benevolent Fund to Miles for Matthew. First year we did that, when it wasn't even announced, I think we had something like $450 worth of gift cards that came in. And that's just because you're generous. And you live that way. Is this message for you? It could be. I don't know. God didn't tell me that this message is for Greg or his mom. God doesn't tell me those things. He will tell me if somebody needs it, but he's not going to necessarily point them out, and sometimes he does. We have the means to give bigger than what our only concerns are. And our only concerns probably in a lot of cases are what's around us and what we have. But he has given us the ability to live a life of generosity, a life of joy, a life of peace, a life of love. He's given others the life of patience. Still working on that one with me and Roger. But that's what it is. So what do we need? And I read this today, this week, and I thought it was interesting. What this author said is we need what's called a paradigm shift. It's often needed in our lives, and what it is to simply make a change. Thomas Kuhn, the fundamental thing that he said about a paradigm change is it's a change in basic concepts. It becomes what our thinking begins with. Most of us have grown up with this skewed idea that the more stuff that we have, the better off we are. And you've seen the signs and the stickers. He who dies with the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys dies with no toys. Really a true statement. There's no way around it. And so we make that shift, and it becomes a shift in our thinking, and what can we do? I've said before, and I really believe there's somebody out there with the money to give us to build our addition on. God's just got to shake it out of their pocket. May not be anybody in this building. I'm not saying it is. But there's somebody somewhere that's got money just waiting to give it to Ross Community Church. Believe that with me, if you will. Misunderstanding has put a lot of people in debt. Misunderstanding has some people confused, and some people are there because of misfortune, some people are there because of health issues, and some people are there because of poor spending. But one of the things that brings is stress. It brings anxiety in families. It brings frustration in families. And they say that there's three things that families argue about. One of them is money. It's one of the things that couples fight about more than anything is money. And I read this week that if you make $2 a day, get this, that you are in the top 2% of the world's wealthiest people. But yet there's that philosophy of buy now and pay later. Jesus had a lot to say about the subject. Dave Ramsey said, we buy things with money we don't have to impress people we don't like. A lot of truth to that when you really stop and think about it. Generosity problems are like any other problems that we have. It boils down to choices. What are our choices? What choice am I going to make to do with what I have? And so we have to make that paradigm change, and we have to understand that the past is the past. We're going to change our thinking about generosity. And I'm not saying change your thought about giving. I'm saying you change your thought about generosity. Of not just giving, but do it generously and joyfully. So we started by saying, what can I do different? How can I go about what I have using it differently? It's like the change that we make when we ask Jesus to forgive us. It's a decision. We shift our perspective, and we realize that we are experiencing a life transformation. Something huge has just happened. I'm no longer a sinner, but I'm a free person. I'm no longer in debt to sin, but I'm free from sin. I'm no longer in bondage to it. The bondage has been removed. And so I'm free. So I'm ready to live generously. Colossians 1:16 says, everything was created through him and for him. How often have we given our children something and they say, it's mine? You can't play with it. You can't have it. You can't enjoy it. You can't be part of it. How do we treat God? Do we treat God the same way? What do we do with our resources? How do we use those? Money is ours to do with as we please. Or is it? James said, my dear friends, don't get thrown off course. Every desirable and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. Whatever is good in our life comes from God. But it didn't stop there. Timothy said, tell those rich in this world's wealth to quit being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage to do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. That's from the Message version. But God gave us all we ever needed. He gave us breath. He gave us health. He gives us strength. He gives us intelligence to do our jobs. And so what we need to do is live in an open-handed society. And I read this story today about this research that was done with this monkey. And they had this monkey in his cage, and they put peanuts outside of it with just enough room for him to get his hand through the cage. And so he got his hand through the cage and got a handful of peanuts, but he couldn't get his hand back in. The only way he could get his hand back in was let loose of the peanuts. But he wasn't about to do that. And he kept trying to pull his hand in full of peanuts. But when we live open-handedly, then we don't have a problem pulling our hand back, and we don't have a problem getting out. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the fruits of your labor. God wants us to do that, as long as we realize that what we have is not ours, but it's his because he has given it to us, and he has allowed us to use it. It's where the word stewardship comes from. A steward was a person who was hired to manage someone else's property, someone else's good. And so what they did is they would take it, they would multiply it. Maybe it was a farmer. He would take it and they would plant the seed, and it would grow and they would harvest it. And what the steward did was put part of that back for the future for the owner of it. And then they would give away the first fruits of it, or the first part of the crop. He wasn't there for him to take. It wasn't there for him to stash any of it away for himself. But the steward was the manager of someone else's wealth. And so what he did is he distributed the resources, but he put a significant amount back to be used again. And when we stop and look at this idea that Greg read about bring the tithe or bring 10% into the storehouse, 10% isn't a whole lot when you really stop and think about it. 10% of 2,000 is a lot easier to pay, or of 2,000 is a lot easier to pay than 10% of 200,000. Wait a minute, that didn't make sense. That's true. $200 is a lot less than 20,000. But our mindset has to be, Am I willing to, if I'm willing to give the 200, then when God blesses me with the 200,000, the 20,000 won't bother me. God didn't put us on this phenomenal earth to amass fortune for ourselves. He gave us the ability to learn. As I said earlier, one of the things he gave us is knowledge that we could use that, we could reinvest it, and then we could, you know, and reinvest it in the kingdom as well as reinvest it in the stock market or whatever, you know, we want to do. Two things Jesus talked about most in the New Testament. The first one was salvation. Do you realize that there's 2,350 scripture references to money in the New Testament? So if you say, Gallagher always talks about money, read the Bible, because Jesus talked about it too. But you know I don't. And so if a person does say that and does feel that way, they really haven't opened their hand. They're living with a closed hand. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he says, but since you excel in everything, in faith and speech and knowledge and complete earnestness and in the love we have kindled for you, see that you excel in the grace of giving. So what's he mean by grace? What's this grace stuff in giving? We talk about being gracious toward each other, treating each other fairly, treating each other right. Well, what it is, it's not always easy because we look at it from a mindful attitude, not from a spiritual attitude. When we go about the business of excellent generosity, we realize the freedom of giving brings great things into our lives. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. The Bible says that give and it shall be given to you. Good measure shaken down, pressed together, will men give to you. That's why there's somebody out there that's going to give us money. I'm not begging for it, I'm just believing for it. And it's going to happen. So how do we get into this idea of excellent generosity? Well, number one, we make the decision, and number two, we begin it. And I thought about this a week, and I kind of thought about, it's kind of like I remembering my son learning to walk. When he got old enough to crawl, he'd crawl. He'd move around when he learned that his arms and his legs would move and they could move him along. He'd get up on his hands and knees and he'd crawl, and he'd do that for a while. But after a while, I think he probably became bored with crawling. And he realized that those chubby little legs he had, as long as he reached on and held up to something, would pull him up. And so he could stand on those legs, and he had some chubby little legs, let me tell you. But then he learned to walk along the couch. And then he could get to the table. And then with the ottoman about this far away, he'd fall. But he'd get up and he'd crawl over there again. He'd raise himself up. And he finally got to where he didn't need to hang on to anything. He could walk. Then he realized he could run, and I realized I had to catch him. We've all been there. But that's kind of the same way. It's a learning process. We learn how to be good stewards by starting and by doing something. Someone said it's to excel in something is simply to become excellent at something. This is what Paul meant when he was talking about that grace of giving. Stephen King, everybody's heard of Stephen King. He said, I ask you to begin giving and to continue as you began. This is the author. You'll find in the end that you got far more than you ever had and did far more good than you ever dreamed. Said that at a commencement, in a commencement speech at Vassar College. And I don't have any idea how much knowledge Stephen King had of the Old Testament or the book of Ecclesiastes, but Ecclesiastes says, we all come to the end of our lives as naked and empty-handed as on the day we were born. We can't take our riches with us. So we take the first step in opening our hand, like the monkey with his hand in the cage, and we realize that we've got to open it. And so anyway, we begin to realize that we need to return this initial gift. Andy Stanley said in The Fear of Gold, "Fear has always been one of the principal enemies of growing faith. It has a way of clouding our thinking and obscuring the facts. You may know precisely how God would like you to handle your finances, but fear has the potential to freeze you in your tracks and send you down another path." And that's what fear does. Fear keeps people locked up, not only financially, but in a lot of other ways also. Keeps them locked up from wanting to do a lot of things. Paul didn't only say give, and the Bible didn't only talk about giving, but Paul says when you give, you should give on the first day of the week. Why is that? Well, that's because in biblical times, people were paid on the last day of the week. So what Paul's saying is bring the first fruits. Before you spend anything or you do anything, bring the first in. Things have changed today in modern society, I know that, and we do things different now and people are paid differently. But the principle remains the same, is that we need to give the first fruit and we need to give and live generously. We're going to talk about next week on how to get and live extravagantly. And it all has to do with being generous. You can't do anything, but you can. We have to stop looking at what the world tells us to do and what the world says. We have to get, and I had a conversation this week with someone, and I thought, and it was a great conversation. We were talking about physical healing. And I told him, I said, we have got to get to the place where it's not a mind thing. Because if it's a mind thing, I will tell you that my knee hurts all the time. Now, I will also tell you that it doesn't hurt like it did. And I can also tell you that there's going to come a time when that muscle is not going to hurt. Because that's what it is. And so I believe that. But it's not my mind telling me that. I just know that. But we so often allow what we see, what we feel. And people talk about, I feel this. If you feel this, you don't feel probably maybe too good or something. But we need to get in the place where we understand that the life that we live is a spiritual life. The Bible said that God made man in his own image. We have to go back a few verses and say, realize that the Bible said God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when he reached down and took the dust of the earth and made man, he made a physical body. Because I just did a funeral this week, and in the end, it was dust to dust and ashes to ashes. I mean, that's where this body's going back to. But our spirit's going to live forever. And that's what he made. So we need to get to where we live spiritually. And I gave this person the healing scriptures that we use on our healing service. And I said, take these and write them on sticky notes and stick them in your bathroom. Stick them in your kitchen. Put them in your car. There's about 20 of them. And I said, get this so absorbed in your spirit that there is no doubt in your mind that God is going to heal you. Because real generosity is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And I thought this morning as I was sitting in my office, God can be a financial chain breaker. Because some people are bound by that. But six lines of that chorus went, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, if you've got chains, he's a prison-shaking savior. And some people are in a financial prison. Some people are in a physical sickness prison. Some people are just in prison, period, because everything in their lives is screwed up. But what he is saying is, if you've got chains, he's the chain breaker. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for being that chain breaker, for being the person that can set us free, being the person that can change our attitudes, change our minds to where our mind listens to our spirit. And the spirit says, you can have this, or you can do this, or you can be this. It's not our mind that says you can't. But as a result of our mind being renewed, our spirit says, in essence, mind, you get behind me. Because you're going to follow me. You're going to live my spirit life. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for the graciousness of your people, for the love that people have for you, for the blessing that you've bestowed upon us. We are certainly blessed because of you. In your name we pray. Amen.